Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind, it cannot touch my heart, and it cannot touch my soul. And those three things are going to carry on forever.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Voices for Victory podcast. I'm your host, Mick McDonald. On this week's episode, we're focusing on the third annual Victory Ride to Cure Cancer. Originally scheduled for mid-May, the V Foundations had to shift in a new direction to adhere to North Carolina's COVID-19 guidelines. The cycling event, which is presented by Braswell Family Farms, will now be a more personal experience throughout the entire month of August, encouraging riders to ride any distance, anytime, and any place, which gives riders a chance to participate safely. First, I'll chat with Emily Clay, the V Foundation's Community Events Coordinator, to talk about the logistics of this new reimagined ride. Then, we'll be joined by Braswell Family Farms President Trey Braswell to talk about why being part of the Victory Ride is so important to him. Finally, I'll talk with Victory Ride participant Chad Tucker about his motivations for joining the ride. Remember that you can find more information and register to join in on the fun at thevictoryride.org. First up, our conversation with Emily Clay.
And I always have to think about what's important in life is to think to me of three things: where you started, where you are, and where you're going to be. Those are the three things that I try and do every day.
So to kick things off on this episode of the Voices for Victory podcast, we're joined by a colleague of mine, the V Foundation's Community Events Coordinator, Emily Clay. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Mick.
Thanks so much for taking a few minutes to chat with us today about this year's reimagined Victory Ride. I know people who have been to the first couple versions of the Victory Ride have an idea of how it goes, and it's been a really successful event the first 2 years. Obviously, given everything with COVID-19 that's happened this year, we had to change things up a little bit. So can you kind of walk people through what this reimagined version of the Victory Ride is going to look like this year?
The reimagined Victory Ride is going to be something for everyone. Everyone has the opportunity to reimagine the event as it works for them in their lifestyle. They can ride any place, any time, any wheels, you know, any amount of miles, however it works for their lifestyle. That's how they'll be involved in the Victory Ride this year.
And if someone wants to participate, they were not signed up before or couldn't make it to the event on the day it was scheduled, how are the steps for that? Is it a pretty easy process for someone to sign up?
Oh my gosh, it couldn't be easier. They just need to go to thevictoryride.org and there's a big registration button. You press that. There's just a few questions. You can register as an individual or join a team, and you're good to go.
And I know normally in the initial versions of the Victory Ride, there are fundraising minimums that people need to reach when they're raising money for the event. Is that the same with this year's event? Has things changed? What does the fundraising aspect of the event look like?
This year, we have changed the registration fees and the fundraising minimums, and have gotten rid of them for this reimagined event. We really want everyone to be able to participate with us, and we didn't want there to be any barrier to entry. So basically, we're encouraging people to fundraise. We would love for them to fundraise, but it is not required. Anyone who raises over $100 will be given an event t-shirt, and I really like them this year, as well as anyone who raises over $250 will automatically be eligible to ride next year when hopefully we're back together in person.
So for those fundraising for the event, does it work similarly to a donation to the V Foundation where 100% of that fundraising goes to cancer research?
Absolutely. 100% of all rider raised funds goes directly to cancer research.
So it's really, it's an easy barrier of entry, as you said here. So, you know, you don't have to be in the area here. I know normally we hold the event in Raleigh, but you can do it virtually from anywhere that you are. There's no fundraising minimum, and there's some cool prizes if you do get to certain fundraising levels, and everything you raise is going to go to cancer research. So, I would hope that people who are listening to this can say, hey, you know, I can jump on my bike once a week, or I can jump on my bike a couple times throughout the month of August and maybe raise a few dollars. And you don't raise millions of dollars without a bunch of people raising hundreds or thousands of dollars, right?
Exactly. Everyone can join.
Every dollar counts. That's right. That's right. So, Emily, I know you work with a lot of people who have ridden in the event in the past, and I wonder for people who are intrigued by this and say, hey, I could do that a couple days through a month. I can jump on my bike. But there may be, even though there's no minimum, there may be a little nervous about fundraising. What are some tips that you give people when they ask you about good ways to fundraise?
Absolutely. So when you register for the event, it automatically walks you through the steps, and then it connects you to your own personal fundraising page. And through that personal fundraising page, you are able to connect to your Facebook. So Facebook fundraisers have been wildly successful for us. Our top fundraisers currently raised almost all their money on Facebook. And then we also have people who really like the email approach. And so through your personal fundraising page, you can use some of our like auto drafted emails that will help you tell your story and tell people why you're riding and connect them to your donation page so that they can donate easily there too.
Yeah. And I hope people take advantage of those tools because they're really helpful for kind of getting things off the ground if you're going to get started. I know there's, you know, because we're not having the ride all together as we would want in a perfect world, but there's still some ways to come together, whether it's online or on social media throughout the month. Can you tell us a little bit about what you guys have planned for that?
Absolutely. So if you follow our social media pages, we have a Facebook, an Instagram, and a Twitter, and they're all the Victory Ride. We'll be sharing photos, some stories from participants and riders using the hashtag MyVictory so that we can all, you know, support each other in this endeavor. We also have a club on the website and app Strava. It's the Victory Ride Club. And we encourage riders to join us there. We're going to have competitions. Some will be cycling focused, and those will be such as most miles ridden or most, you know, number of rides throughout the month, most elevation. We're also going to do some that are less cycling focused for, you know, those that might be more interested in fundraising for cancer research than being a serious cyclist. And those are going to be, you know, best team spirit, best V spirit, cutest riding partner. So if your kid rides with you, your dog rides with you, you can post some of those pictures on our social. And we'll be doing some little contests with them.
Very fun idea to get everyone involved and kind of give that team spirit. I know we're participating in social distancing and all that, right? But social distancing doesn't mean you can't still come together online or through social media. So I think that's a really fun activity, and I hope people participate. And again, hashtag MyVictory. And if you follow the Victory Ride on social media at the Victory Ride, you'll be able to follow along with all of that throughout the month. Emily, one last question, just personally for you in the role you play with the Victory Ride. You get the chance to talk to a lot of participants who have really, stories that have motivated them to ride or to fundraise. How does talking to all these different people and hearing all of their different stories then turn around and motivate you for what you do?
Oh, goodness. I mean, it makes you keep going. These participants and these people sharing stories really can change your entire outlook on a day. We've had to pivot a lot on this Victory Ride journey this year due to COVID-19, and that's really nothing compared to the pivots people dealing with cancer have to make, and just working on what works best and doing what you need to do.
Well, I know we'll be in touch throughout the month as everything continues to roll on. And I hope, I know you'll be involved with Strava and throughout our social media with the Victory Ride. So everyone who's participating, keep your eyes out for Emily. Her name might pop up in your email if you register. So just be aware, if you hear from her, she's going to want to hear from you.
Emily, we thanks. Love to hear from everyone.
Emily, thanks so much for taking a few minutes to kind of fill us in on the new look Victory Ride this year. And we look forward to talking more soon.
Thanks, Mick.
Thanks so much to Emily for taking some time to chat with us. And remember, if you're riding, to share along all August using hashtag MyVictory. Next up, our chat with Trey Braswell. And we are now joined on the Voices for Victory podcast by Trey Braswell of Braswell Family Farms, the presenting sponsor of the Victory Ride to Cure Cancer. Trey, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So Trey, I want to start with, you know, hopefully most people know about Braswell Family Farms and what you guys do. But for our listeners who maybe don't or haven't heard of you, can you just give us kind of a quick rundown of what it is Braswell Family Farms does and what it is you guys are all about?
Absolutely. And so to start that, I'd like to tell you about our mission, because that'll feed into why we're doing, you know, what we're doing. But, you know, our mission as a company is to glorify God as we provide the safest and highest quality eggs and feed. We are a fourth-generation family business that produces eggs for the retail market for grocery and food service. And we also provide animal feed for chickens, turkeys, and hogs, really in the Mid-Atlantic region. And we want to do that in a way that glorifies God. We feel like if we're not doing that, you know, we're not really being successful.
So you guys came on board as the presenting sponsor of the Victory Ride last year. Initially, what was the thought process? What really made it a good fit for you and for your family?
Yeah, absolutely. So let me tell you about our vision. Our vision really is to better the lives of those we meet as the Mid-Atlantic's premier specialty egg and feed provider. But the key part of that is, you know, to better the lives of those we meet. So we've been thinking about, like, you know, how can we tie in, like, what we're about, like our desire to glorify God, our desire to make a positive impact on people, with what we do, and then with our employees, and with something that impacts, you know, everybody. You know, whether they've had cancer or their family members had cancer, there's nobody that has been untouched by that. But we just kind of embarked on a journey to say, what does that look like? I mean, you know, we're in the egg business. You know, it's a power food. You know, it's a nutritional power food. And we said there's got to be some type of event, whether we partner with somebody or we, you know, develop it on our own, that really ties in, you know, our mission and, you know, the benefits of egg nutrition and our desire to love on and encourage our people and the people in our communities. And that's really what led us to it.
And so, you know, last year you guys were out at the event. We had, you know, you guys provided a wonderful breakfast. You had your egg mascot there, which was a sight to see. If anyone hasn't seen your guys, is that the Eaglin Best Egg? What, tell me a little bit about the walking egg, because it makes you do a double take every time you see it.
Yeah, that's always been a hit, man. It's just so cool to, you know, it is the Eaglin egg, and to get it out there, and people just really love it. And, you know, the EB there is just full of spirit, and it just encourages people. And I remember when I was a kid at the local spring fair or whatever we have in town, the Blooming Festival, you know, I wore that thing in town, and kids love it and people love it. And it's a lot of fun. Bring a smile to everybody's face.
Wait, so you've been the egg before? Are we breaking news, man, here, Trey?
Well, that's the entry level job as a family member. You've got to go through the initiation of being the egg.
Right, because if, as someone who's had to wear a mascot costume before, if you can make it through a mascot costume in the heat of the summer, then you're on your way, right?
Yeah, but hey, when I wore the egg, it didn't have air conditioning inside of it.
So, you know, obviously, because of everything going on with the COVID-19 pandemic this year, we've sort of had to change course with the Victory Ride. It's going to look a little different. We're not going to be able to be on site like we were last year. And I know that's really important to you and your team, to be a part of the community and be out there meeting people. So, you know, how have you kind of embraced this new look Victory Ride this year with you and your team?
Well, we're still trying to figure that out, because, you know, that is a big part of it. It's being in community and fellowship with folks and being there at the event, giving our employees and team an opportunity to come serve and help out and encourage the riders. So, you know, we're trying to figure out what that looks like for our employees. And maybe it even gives more people an opportunity to participate in the riding or something. But I can't say that we know exactly what that looks like, but it does open up some new creative opportunities to do it differently than obviously you would if it was there on site. But now we're kind of brainstorming of how can we do that.
So Trey, if people want to learn more about Braswell Family Farms, where can they go to find out some more information about you guys?
Well, they can go to our website for one, BraswellFamilyFarms.com. And then we are on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. So there's a lot of information out there. You know, I guess more information on the website than anything, and a lot of cool stuff you can see. Get employee bios and company history and recipes and stuff on our social media. But yeah, I mean, get our website and get our whole story and what we're about and what organizations we, you know, support and partner with.
And I know as part of the Victory Eye team, we're so happy to have you all on board. And I think one thing I really admire about your company is just how important family is to you. As you mentioned, it's a family owned company. How has that kind of helped develop the company throughout the years, that how important family is, and just kind of walk us through how important that's been to you guys throughout the years?
Well, I mean, it's been incredibly important. I mean, we are a family owned business, but you know, where that really transcends the ownership into how we treat our people. And that's been from the beginning, our people and our customers. And from when we were just making cornmeal to raising baby chicks to now, you know, making the feed and the eggs, it's just, we treating people like family. You know, we like to, you know, with our customers and our partners, we love to get together, fellowship, break bread together with our team. Really, you know, it's, you know, we share in the fruits of the company. We take care of them. We love them. You know, we're not perfect, but we strive to, you know, be engaged in their life to, you know, we do different things as a company to try to impact their life at home, you know, not just get, you know, give them a good, you know, rewarding job with a paycheck, but to invest in their marriage, invest in their children, bring their family together with the, you know, other families for family day and things like that. Like, we want to, if somebody's a part of our team, like, we hope that it's not just a job when they're here, but that we have hopefully improved the quality of their life and the quality of their family by investing in their family and investing in them.
That's such a wonderful outlook, and I know is why we're so pleased to have you guys on board with the Victory Ride, because you know, that kind of family and team thinking is exactly what we're hoping for with people who come to join the Victory Ride. So Trey, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to chat with us today. And we look forward to continued success of Braswell Family Farms and the Victory Ride.
Thank you. We're excited to see this year and hopefully next year we're all back together again.
We'll have an egg together then, Trey.
There you go.
Thanks again to Trey for joining us, and a big thank you to the entire Braswell Family Farms team for being such a wonderful presenting sponsor of the Victory Ride. Finally, we wrap up today's episode by chatting with Chad Tucker. We are now joined on the Voices for Victory podcast by Chad Tucker, a Victory Ride participant and one who's making some waves with all of his terrific work fundraising for the Victory Ride. Chad, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Chad, I want to start. Last year, you participated in the Victory Ride. What was it about the event that you took away most, that you enjoyed most from participating in the event last year?
Absolutely. The meeting other people who went through the journey or are currently going through the journey of the cancer fight or the recovery, that was the beauty of that ride, was meeting so many people who have all this common connection. We're able to share our stories and also talk about the fact that, you know, we, even as supporters, family supporters, I was riding last year for my grandmother, and so I was able to meet people who were riding for their loved one. And then also just being inspired too by the people who have beat cancer and were out there riding as well.
And you went through the experience last year and decided you were going to come back this year. I assume partially because you know, last fall you guys, your life changes monumentally. You know, you're at the time your 3-year-old daughter Pearl Monroe is diagnosed with leukemia. Can you walk us through sort of how you initially found out the diagnosis with her and then how she's kind of come along from there?
Yeah, absolutely. Last November, our daughter started complaining of pain in her legs, and then it became in her arms and in her wrists and in her cheeks. She just started complaining of a lot of pain, and we repeatedly went to the pediatrician. We had a number of x-rays to see if it's fractures or this or that, and then after several weeks of going back and forth, blood work showed that our daughter actually had ALL leukemia. The blessing in that is that we found it fairly into about 2 to 3 weeks of her getting it. And it is the most highly cured leukemia today. So the journey was long. It's going to be long. She still has another year and a half to go on fighting leukemia. But she is a real trooper. They talk about children being resilient, and we see it every day. She gets her chemo treatment. She gets her spinal tap infusion. And as soon as it's over, she hops up and is asking, when can we go play? Where can we go to Chick-fil-A? it's like they don't, it doesn't faze them. I mean, they get tired and things like that. And there were some times when she was on steroid chemo that really played into to her well-being and really slowed her down. And the first month was very difficult for all of us because she was on steroids 24/7. And it was very, very difficult for everybody because she basically didn't sleep. She napped, eat, 24 hours, and had a lot of side effects. But the hardest part for her is now behind her. It's really that first month to 6 months. And she's doing great. She's doing great. And so when the V Foundation Victory Ride came up again for this year, I immediately knew, you know, I'm going to do this again. You know, the stress of dealing with someone in your family who's fighting cancer, especially a child, plays on you physically, mentally. And so I have not been on my bike in a while, and I put on some weight from the emotional eating, I guess. And everybody who really wants to help take care of you, and they bring food over. When it came time to sign up, you know, I was like, I'm so out of shape. But I realized if my daughter can go in there and get these treatments every week, every 15 days, and bounce right back, you know, the least I can do is get back on my bike. And I knew immediately that's what I was going to do. And I started doing that. I started off small, just like so many people who haven't been on in a while. You know, you just go as far as you can, and then you need a day break, take it, but just get back on. Just keep getting back on there and keep going. And it's amazing how our bodies are able to catch up really quickly.
I mean, you certainly have some amazing motivation. You know, you mentioned thinking about, I haven't been on the bike in a while. Well, when your daughter's going through what she's going through, I imagine that's a nice, you know, wake up of, I think I probably could do a little bit on the bike today.
Right. Exactly. I mean, she, you know, she would sit here with, you know, pain in the very beginning. She would have a lot of pain and bone pain. She couldn't walk. The leukemia had gotten so bad in her bones, she couldn't walk. So for the first month and a half of treatment, we carried her everywhere. And then she, as they started knocking the leukemia down, she started moving more and walking more and taking another step until the point where, I'll never forget, she said she wanted to run. And we said, run to us. And she did. She said, now I may run like an old grandma, but I'm going to try. And I was like, do it, girl. And she took off running across the dining room into the kitchen. And we knew our girl was coming back. And I knew if she can do that, she can keep pushing herself forward. I can get on a bike and ride to hopefully raise money so that other families won't have to go through this, or the procedures and the treatments will get even more advanced. Thankfully, her leukemia is highly curable, and that's because of so many people who have put in hours and fundraising and really put toward research. And the type of leukemia she has, you know, 10, 15 years ago, her prognosis would have been a whole lot different. But that's how much we have advanced in our research and in our cure rate because of that research. And so when the Victory Ride came up again this year, I immediately knew that I was going to ride for Roro.
And Roro certainly sounds like quite a superstar. So please let her know that the whole V Foundation and Victory Ride teams are rooting for her and thinking about her as she continues going through everything. We certainly send our best to her. And you mentioned the importance of funding and research, and you know that's obviously why we're here, why we do what we do. You've been really successful as a fundraiser, and I know for a lot of people when they join something like the Victory Ride, it can be intimidating to know you know you're going to fundraise, you're going to work, you're not maybe sure, you haven't done it before. Do you have some tips that have worked well for you that you think can maybe help other people as they try to fundraise, as we continue to try to raise more money for research?
Just ask. It's very powerful when you ask people to support you in a ride. And some people feel a little nervous or a little held back by asking people for money. But when you tell your story, we all are affected by cancer in some way, shape, or form. My daughter, my grandmother, my stepfather passed away in the early 90s from a brain tumor. So we've all affected in some way by cancer. And 9 times out of 10, when you go up to someone and ask them to support cancer research, support you and what you're doing to raise money, they're going to say yes. And one of the powerful things that we are so blessed with today, there's a lot of good and bad that comes with social media, but <For sure. laughs> but there's a lot of good as well. And that is in sharing your story. And I put it out there. I put it out there to ask people to support my ride for Roro. I shared her story, and people have big hearts. And when they can see a face, when they can put a face with where their money's going, knowing that their money's going directly to a foundation like the V Foundation, where 100% of their donation goes straight to the research, when they know that is happening and they see a face that someone who is benefiting, like my daughter, people are willing to open up more than nurse their heart. They're willing to open up their wallet. And that's just what I did. I put it out there, and you just keep reminding people. And I was blown away. I mean, I wasn't expecting to raise, I think it's over 11,000 now. You know, my goal, I think, was just to beat the goal I had last year, which was, I think, 3,000. So I was trying to do like 3,500. Never, ever expected it to jump to over 11,000, I think in like a week and a half. But that's the power and the good in social media, is you're able to share that story, share the need, and get the message out there. And, you know, it's a lot different than the olden days. We had to go knock on doors or beg our relatives. Now we can just ask people online, and that's the beauty in it. And that would be my advice to anybody. It's, you know, share the story, share the connection that you have. People connect with stories. People connect with the struggles that we all go through when we're dealing with cancer, even down to the family members. We all can connect to that. And when you share that story, you share your heart, people connect with that.
So obviously the Victory Ride is going to look a little different this year, not the normal ride, because of everything going on with the COVID-19 pandemic. It's a little bit of a reimagined Victory Ride. So I know it's still kind of new, the plans with everything, but have you thought about how you're going to kind of map out rides? Do you have a goal? What's kind of you're looking at? How are you looking at the ride this year?
So in understanding it, it's going to be every day in August, basically, or just the month of August, we're going to ride. Okay. So my goal in doing this, and it's I think it'll be a beautiful thing. I'm going to try and incorporate Roro. That's my goal. So she is on her training wheels, but she I think would enjoy that. I'm going to put in my miles. I'm going to try every day. I'm going to have a weekly goal. So every week I'm going to do a weekly goal, and I'm going to try and get in so many miles a week. And part of that is I'm going to get Roro out there with me as well. Even if it's up and down the cul-de-sac, we're going to do it. That's how I'm going to incorporate it. So on the days that she feels really good, which are a lot more than less these days, we're very thankful for that. She's going to get out there and she's going to ride with me. But yeah, that's my goal. So I'm going to take each week and I'm going to set myself a personal goal of how many miles I can. I'd like to think I could ride every day. It's a great goal to have. But we're going to take every week at a time, and River's going to ride with me as well.
That's awesome. And I hope, Chad, I know you're active in kind of sharing you and Roro's stories on social media. I hope you'll continue to do that through the month of August. Remember, everyone, hashtag my victory. So engage with Chad. I'm sure he'd love to know what you're doing with your riding, and you can motivate each other to keep going throughout the month of August for this year's victory ride. Chad, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to chat with us. Best wishes to Roro as she continues to go through everything she's dealing with, and good luck throughout the month of August as you push forward with this year's victory ride.
Absolutely. Thank you. And thank you guys for all you do.
Well, that wraps up today's episode of the Voices for Victory podcast. Another thank you to Emily Clay, Trey Braswell, and Chad Tucker for joining us. And remember, you can register for the Reimagined Victory Ride at thevictoryride.org. Don't forget, if you enjoy the show, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you always know when our latest episode is posted. And as always, comments and 5-star reviews are very welcome. For more information on the V Foundation, visit v.org and make sure you're following the foundation on social media at the V Foundation. Until next time.
To me, there are three things we all should do every day. If we do this every day of our life, you're going to have, what a wonderful, number one is laugh. You should laugh every day. Number two is think. You should spend some time in thought. And number three is you should have your emotions moved to tears. Could be happiness or joy. But think about it. If you laugh, you think, and you cry, that's a full day. That's a heck of a day.